All right, Jabosai, good evening, let us begin. We are picking up on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis 23b at the two dots. Now, there are some of these really very interesting sugyas. So, Tan Rabbanon. Harotz l'kanes l'se'udas keva, mahalech asara pamim dalet amos, o dalet pamim yud amos. Listen to this halacha. Person wants to go and is going to sit down at a meal, right? Now, you have to understand something. The context over here is incredibly important. When a person comes and sits down at a meal, so Rashi points out, Rashi says, "Uginaihu she yitzarech l'nekavav b'soch asuda." So apparently, you know, like Talmudic practice was that when you sat down at a meal with people, it was considered to be rude to excuse yourself to go to the bathroom. You wouldn't do that. So therefore, when you sat down at the meal, you were there. You were there until the meal was complete. So if that's the case, you want to make sure that you relieve yourself prior to going ahead and going to the bathroom. So Gemara gives an interesting aid to the Gemara says, so what you do now, in this case over here, the person is trying to make sure that they could defecate before going to the before sitting down to the meal. So Gemara says, what should you do? Go ahead and walk 10 times. I'm sorry. Mahalik eser pamim dal ramas. So do 10 short walks of 4 amas each. Right? 10 short walks of 4 amas each. Or do 4 longer walks of 10 amas each. V'yifne, and then try to relieve yourself. So apparently the walking, Rashi says, creates the pressure, and the pressure makes it easier for a person to go ahead and relieve themselves. All right. Amr Rav Yitzchak, ha'yinichnas l'su'udas keva, cholit tfilof. Similarly, if a person goes in to sit down for a meal, tfilas, so su'udas keva means like a real meal. So a person goes in to sit down for a real meal, what should you do? Take off your tefillin. Take off your tefillin. Now, what's the pshat? Why do you have to take off your tefillin? So Rashi says, over Shem yishtakir besuda v'yiskana betfilov. What are we concerned about? Remember, again, a staple of Talmudic meals was wine. So the concern was, if I'm going into a meal, I may drink a little bit too much. If I'm wearing my tefillin, so there's a concern that I may act in an inappropriate way while wearing my tefillin. So the Gemara says, upliga d'Rabbi Chiya, dam Rabbi Chiya, manichun al shulchano. So we'll say, so here's what's interesting. The first opinion says that halacha l'maisa, you take off your tefillin and you wrap it up. The second opinion said, you take off your tefillin and you put it on the table. You put it on the table and you have it in front of you. V'chin hadrullah. And Rabbi say, and this is considered to be a beautiful practice. Now, what's the pshat? Because if they're sitting in front of the table, if you finish your meal and there's still time to go ahead and put the tefillin back on, you put the tefillin back on. Okay, beautiful. V'ad emas. And I will say, how long do you have to keep your tefillin off? In other words, I'm going into the meal, I'm taking off my tefillin because if I drink a little too much and I act maybe a little bit in a frivolous, light-headed way, it's not appropriate to wear my tefillin. So when can I put my tefillin back on? So the Gemara says, Adzman bracha. You have to keep your tefillin off up until benching. And after benching, you could put your tefillin back on. Now, I understand also, the Gemara is presupposing, kind of like the previous sugya as well, that people are wearing tefillin the whole day. You know, again, remember, our mindset is you wear tefillin during Shacharis, and that's it. That's not really the Ikra Halacha. The Ikra Halacha is a person who wears tefillin all day, and that's clearly what the Gemara is talking about. That's why even the keys are going to the bathroom. Right? All these kids, a person walking around the whole day in tefillin. Okay. Tani Chada, Sorer Adam Tfilov in Ma'osav Ba'afekasuso. So I'll say this is actually very interesting. So one Brisa says as follows, that a person could wrap up his tefillin together with his money in his cloak. In his cloak. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, in Ma'osav, Rashi says, Lo im ha-Ma'os mamish, elishnek sharim zeh etzal zeh. So Rashi just clarifies over here, it doesn't literally mean that I'm going ahead and wrapping up my money literally together with my tefillin, but rather it means I'm wrapping my money and I'm wrapping my tefillin all together in the same cloak. So like, they're wrapped separately, but within the same cloak. V'tanya idach, another brisa says, Lo yatzar. Other brisa says, no. If you're using a cloak to wrap your tefillin, you should not wrap your money in that same cloak. So we have a contradiction. So what's the halacha? So this is really interesting. Lo kasha, hada azamne, hada lo azamne. We'll say it's not a contradiction. One is talking about where you set aside the cloak to be a receptacle for tefillin, and one is where you did not designate it to be a receptacle. What is the Gemara saying? Once you designate an item to be a tefillin receptacle, then that item has kedusha, it has holiness. And once it has holiness, it really can't be used for something else. For something else, the Gemara says, "Da'am Rav Chista said, Hai sudra de tefillin, da'azdan de la mezer tefillin." If you literally have a cloak, you have a garment, that you, sudra literally means like a headscarf. You have a scarf that you set aside, that you designated to go ahead and use. It's your tefillin bag, right? You designated a scarf to use as your tefillin bag. Then what's the halacha? Then lemeitzar tefillin, sar beit tefillin, as lemeitzar beit pshiti. So once you used it for tefillin, you can't use it for money. Azam mevalot sarbe. What happens if you designated the bag, or in this case, the scarf, but you never actually used it for tefillin yet, or sarbe velo azamne, or you put tefillin in it, but you never actively designated the bag or the scarf, shari lemitzar bezuze, ultimately, again, you could wrap money in it. So I will say, so according to this opinion, in order for a receptacle, a bag, a scarf, to be designated for tefillin, you need two things. Number one, designation. Number two, active use for tefillin. Once you have those two things, then halach lemaaseh can't be used for anything else. But simply designating the bag for tefillin doesn't give it kedusha. Or using it without designation doesn't give it kedusha as well. The Gemara says, so money for tzedakah would be the same thing. You couldn't. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. One second. He says, ula abaye de amr hazmana milsehi azam me af agav lo tzari. Now, according to Abaye, Abaye says designation is enough. Designation is enough. So ultimately, again, so according to Abaye, says designation is enough. Azam me af agav lo tzari. Then once you go and you designate, let's say the scarf for tefillin, even if you haven't yet used it for tefillin, you can't use that scarf or that bag for anything else. Sarbe, but if you just used it for tefillin, yazamne aser, ilo azamne lo. But if you just designated it, I'm sorry, if you used it, but you didn't designate it, then ultimately the item doesn't have kedusha. So I will say, see, here's what's very interesting about this Gemara. So what it sounds like over here from this particular Gemara is that halacha lemaisa, that there's a fundamental machlokas. If you go ahead and you designate a bag, a scarf for your tefillin, so does the designation itself preclude you from using the scarf or the bag for anything else? Or does it have to be designation plus usage? So we'll say the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins is, it has to be designation plus usage. Designation plus usage. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, so just to illustrate this, so let's say you have a tefillin bag. Let's say you have a tefillin bag, right? And let's say you get a new tefillin bag. So now you decide, you know what? My old tefillin bag would be a fantastic lunch bag. It already has my name on it, right? It's beautiful. It's not going to get confused with any of the other lunch bags in the refrigerator, right? Because no one else has a lunch bag like that. It's fantastic. You can't do that. Because once it's been actively designated, ultimately, again, for and used for tefillin, it can't be repurposed as something else. So Chaim mentioned over here, what about keeping tzedakah money in your tefillin bag? So this is a big machlokes aposkim. So some say you're not allowed to do that. You can't do it because that's using a bag that is set aside for tefillin for something else. Other school of thought says you can do it. Why? Why? It's a mitzvah. In other words, when do we say that if you designated it for tefillin, ultimately, again, shouldn't use it for anything else? That's ultimately for a mundane usage. But for another mitzvah usage, you could have seen, you know where else this comes up? It's actually interesting. I don't remember where I saw this, but a long time ago I saw that there are opinions that bring down that really a person shouldn't even put a siddur in their talis bag, right? Why? Because again, it's designated for the talis of tefillin. Now again, I don't think anyone holds.
What about your
marker? I thought you said your beer. Yeah. I'm like, no, you should not put a beer in your tefillin bag. unless you're really thirsty. Yeah, tefillin marker?
Yeah, and your mirror.
So those, I think those things are directly related to tefillin, so I think that's fine. I think anything that's related to tefillin is not going to be a problem. So you said it's not really related to tefillin. In other words, that lemaisa, I'm sorry? Okay, but you can get a sitter elsewhere. You know, but Pashas, again, I don't think anyone practically is actually machmir with the sitter. I was just pointing out how some take this view to an extreme level as well. So both sides. So we pass halacha lemaisa is once the bag has been designated and used for tefillin, it can't be repurposed for something else afterwards. Okay. Plastic bag doesn't have any kedusha associated with it. Correct. So that would be the way. In other words, in the plastic bag, you could keep whatever you want. It's the same way that technically speaking, you could throw out your plastic bag, right? That's on. So now again, the minhag is you don't just throw it in the garbage. The minhag is you put it in another plastic bag, and you know, like a 7 mile bag. Do they still got 7 mile bags? They do, right? So you put that in a shopping bag, right? And then you go in and you throw it out. But technically speaking, it has no kiddusha. All right, boss. Let's go weiter. Really interesting gemaras. So let's go weiter. Good. Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Nechunya, asked from Rav Yehuda the following question: Mahu she'aniach adam tachas tfilav tachas merashosav. So we'll say this is an interesting shaila. Am I allowed to sleep with my tefillin under my head? That's the shaila. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, last line of Rashi, Mahu she'aniach tefillin tachas merashosav balayla kishu yashen. So I'm going to sleep. I'm going to the Rabbi say, you'd ask yourself, why would you sleep with your tefillin under your head? Well, it could be, again, we'll see that Rashi is going to point out a couple of possibilities. Maybe I'm afraid of thieves. Maybe I'm afraid of mice. Right? Remember, we saw those big mice that carry off tefillin, right? So really, you have other issues if you have mice that big. Right? But Lamaisa, I want to sleep with my tefillin under my head. So am I allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, so Mashiach Adam Dachs Mer Shosav. So tachas margalosav lo kami baili shnei ben minya bizon. Well, it goes without saying, you can't sleep with your tefillin underneath your feet, right? That's obvious. Why is that obvious? Because that's considered to be a disparagement, right? That's considered to be something that's inappropriate to the tefillin. Ki kami baili. So what's the shayla, right? What's the shayla? Tachas merashosav mai. So again, I understand I can't sleep with my tefillin under my feet. Can I sleep with my tefillin underneath my head? Amarle. Hachiyam Shmuel, listen to this. Shmuel said, Mutter afilo ishto imo. You could sleep with your tefillin underneath your head, even if you're in bed with your wife. Right? Even ishto imo. Now, what's the chap of ishto imo? So there, in that case, again, there's even the potential for intimacy. So it sounds like you're saying over here that you can sleep with tefillin underneath your head, even if there's the potential for intimacy. Okay, we'll have to qualify that a little bit. So the Gemara says, as follows. So good. Mesa. The Gemara is a kasha. Lo yaniach adam tila tachas margalosa min beishnoi well mina derech b'hem derech bizayon. So what the Brisa says, a person shouldn't sleep with his tefillin underneath his feet, right, or his legs, ultimately because that's considered to be disparaging. Aval manich on tachas merashosav, but you can put your tefillin underneath your head. Then haise ishto imo. But if your wife was with you in bed, aser. Ultimately, again, you should not sleep with your tefillin underneath your head. So also we have a contradiction. The Brisa said before and said that a man can sleep with his tefillin underneath his head even if his wife is with him. And the second opinion said he can sleep with his tefillin under his head, but not if his wife is with him. The Brisa goes on. If you had a place that was three tefachim above the bed or three tefachim below the bed, you could put your tefillin there as well. But remember again, three tefachim represents a significant differential. So if you have a place, like a shelf or whatever, a place higher or lower than the bed, that's fine. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Tiyufta the Shmuel, tiyufta. So we'll say the second brisa refutes the position of Shmuel. So where Shmuel said that a person could sleep with their tefillin underneath their head, even if their wife is with them, the second brisa refutes that. So we'll say, what the Gemara is holding right now is that halacha lemaisa, you could sleep with your tefillin under your head, but if a person's wife is with him, he cannot. He cannot. That's where the Gemara ends off. Now watch this. I'm really Rava. Afa gab the sanyat to the Shmuel. Most of this is fascinating. Rava said, even though we just refuted the position of Shmuel, namely, that halacha lemaisa, you can't sleep with your tefillin underneath your head if the wife is with him. Nevertheless, hilchasa kavasei. This is fascinating. The halacha follows Shmuel, which I will say seems to say that what? You can sleep with your tefillin, a man can sleep with his tefillin under his head, even if his wife is with him. Now, my time, what's the reason? I will say, top of chav dal ramad aleph. This is really fascinating. Kol linturinhu tfei adif. Because I will say, ultimately, again, the more you could guard your tefillin, the better off you are. In other words, I will say, let's take a step back. The Gemara presupposes there's only one reason why a person would be sleeping with this tefillin under his head. And why is that? To safeguard them, right? To safeguard them. Meaning that my only other option is to leave the tefillin in a place where either it could be stolen, it could be damaged. So in other words, no one lechatchila, right? No one is ideally placing tefillin underneath their head. The only reason, ultimately, again, that is occurring is in order to safeguard and to watch out for them. So listen to this. So the Gemara therefore says, we'll say, if it's a choice, essentially, between safeguarding the tefillin, even though, again, now a man has the tefillin underneath his head and his wife is with him, better to keep the tefillin safe, even though it's not ideal, than to leave the tefillin out and leave them, again, subject to theft or chas hashalom destruction. Really interesting. I will say, there's a tremendous mussar in this, that sometimes in life, you have to choose the best option available to you, even though it's not a good option. Right? So this guy over here is choosing between leaving the tefillin exposed and vulnerable, right, versus putting it under his head and his wife is in bed with him. So we'll say, so neither of those are great options. But the Gemara says, better to know that the tefillin are safe and secure than to leave them exposed. Sometimes you got to choose the best option out of the given options that are presented to you, even though neither of them or none of them are ideal. Incredible. So we'll say, so by the way, when we speak about putting tefillin underneath your head, where exactly is, where is the tefillin being placed? So Rabbi Yirmiyah, Bein Kar LeKeses, Shelo Keneged HaRosh. Rabbi says, it's very interesting. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, we're not talking literally where you're putting your head on the tefillin. Rather, we're talking about where you're putting, ultimately, again, your tefillin between the pillow and the mattress. That's where it is. So again, so there is a little bit of a buffer, a little bit of a barrier. So again, between my head and my mattress, I was saying, I watch this, one more qualifier, and the tefillin is not directly underneath my head. So we'll say, so if you can imagine, again, you have your pillow. Right, so I put my, just for illustration purposes, right? I sleep on the right side of the pillow, right? I sleep on the right side of the pillow. So the idea would be is I'm putting my tefillin between my pillow and my mattress. And ultimately, the tefillin would be on the left, under the left side of the pillow. So therefore, my head is not resting on the tefillin itself. Okay. So the Gemara says, I, v'atana b'chia, manichin b'kova tachas meroshosav. So I have Rabbi Chiya said, but you should put the tefillin in the bag. Kovan, both in this context, means a bag. You should put the tefillin ultimately, again, in a bag. And you could put the bag even underneath your head. Shabbos say, sounds like over here, that halacha l'maisa, you can put the tefillin directly underneath your head. To which the one says, demafik le lamarsha de kova labar. Shabbos say, what it means is like this. The bag itself could be under the head, under your head. Shabbos say, but the bag, the Gemara is like, the bag has a bulge, right? What is the bulge? That's where the tefillin are. So there's not a problem if your head is on top of the bag, but what we want is the bulge, i.e. the area where the tefillin are, not under your head. Not under your head. Okay. So bar kafra, sayer le bekilsa, umafik lomer shehen lebar. So bar kafra, when he had to keep his tefillin by his bed, I will say, so if you can imagine over here, what they're talking about essentially is like a canopy bed, right? So if you can imagine, you have a canopy bed, and you have like the curtains around the bed. See, he would tie up his tefillin in the curtain and position the bulge facing away from the bed. So this way, again, it wasn't underneath, and it was even facing inward. Okay. Rav Shisha b'Rei Rav Idi, manach lu asher shifa, Uparis Sudra Iluyo. So Rav Shishmei Dravidi, if he had tefillin with him in the bedroom, he would place it on a stool and place a covering over the tefillin. I will say, this is actually a very important halacha, because the truth is, if one does have tefillin in their bedroom, right? And so let's say one is getting undressed, or for that matter, again, one is going to be intimate with one's spouse, the tefillin have to be covered. They have to be covered. They also have to be covered. And I will say, having it in the bag is not enough of a covering, but rather, again, because one has to put an additional covering over it. So this could come up, you know, a person's in a hotel room. So it's all one room. So I have my talis and tefillin right there. I say, halacha l'maaseh, a person should just be makbid to cover over the talis and tefillin in that room. Based ultimately, again, on Rav Shishi b'Rei Davidi, would place it on the stool and would ultimately go ahead, cover over the stool as well. Amra Famuna b'Rei Rav Yosef, Zimna Chada, Hava Ka'imna Kamei Darava. So we'll see, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Tashem with Rav Hamnuna tomorrow. Let's say Shir tomorrow night at 7:40 p.m., followed by Chasidus at 8 o'clock p.m. Shkoyach, everyone.